Our guest today is Jay Geyer of the Scheduling Institute. Jay does programs to teach doctors and their staff how to bring patients into the practice more gracefully, more successfully, more efficiently. Is that about right, Jay?
That's pretty good.
Jay, tell us who you are and about your company and how it all works.
Okay, well, great. First of all, Greg, it's great to be with you today. I have been following your material for years and used it as starting back, I was the marketing director for a very large chiropractic clinic here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we typically did 400 to 600 new patients a month, so you were real instrumental in making those numbers climb up and, yeah. And have appreciated your input in that. Now, the Scheduling Institute is a company that I designed based out of my experience there, really, and its primary purpose, I have a passion for new patients and increasing new patients within practices, and so what we've done is found a very small little almost a magic area within the practice that we find that many doctors are underutilizing, and that is the fact that for whatever reason, we chase these, shall we say, more sexy new patient approaches, if it's buying more advertising or sending out more mail or whatever it may be, but somehow doctors have neglected one of the primary tools in their office, and that is that when you look at the marketing, almost all marketing, Greg, drives people to the telephone. It drives them to pick up the phone and call a number. And so ultimately what happens before most patients, maybe 98% of them actually show up in an office, they place a call to that office. And so that call becomes a hinge. And what we're finding is that people are either coming in through that call or they're literally being turned away, sent away. They're because of the call, they continue the shopping process. They go on and call another doctor and many times end up in another office. And so we specialize in that particular area. Everything about creating readiness, training staff members to be highly motivated, highly skilled, highly talented at taking those inbound telephone calls and decreasing the amount of loss that happens in that particular area.
Jay, we see the whole new patient process as kind of a Darwinian phenomenon. Only the strongest patients survive most people's front desk. It really kind of makes the practice an easy place because nothing but the most motivated, prosperous, heavily insured, highly referred people seem to be able to get through the blast shield we put up at the front desk.
Well, and I would say from our research that we certainly see that same phenomenon happening all across the country today.
You know, we just did a marketing seminar, as you know.
Correct.
Where we had 110 doctors there, and they had come to learn about advertising and marketing programs. Jay Geyer got up as kind of a surprise speaker Friday evening and blew everyone away. You had audit called all 110 doctors. You had a recording, a little cassette tape of each one. The doctors then listened as you pulled those out at random and played them to the group. They were atrocious. Every single staff person fumbled the new patient call, which was really your employee calling them. Is that right?
Correct.
And then the doctors lined up afterwards. We set up audio cassette players with headphones, and they listened. I watched them one after another, listened to their audit call, and their faces fell because they had held out hope, Jay, that there would be the one office out of 110 that hadn't fumbled the ball, and they were not the exception. The result was they all said, my gosh, you know, here I've come to learn about getting new patients, and what Jay Geyer has taught me is I'm nowhere near ready for the skittish, tentative-type patient that advertising tends to attract. Does that about sum it up, Jay?
Well, absolutely, and you're right. I mean, I refer to it as a certain denial people have, and that's why I go to such lengths to actually do research on a person's office to try to make sure, because it's the only way that you can break through that denial, Greg. In other words, they think that because of either a duration of employment, an attitude of an employee, it's their spouse, whatever it may be, there are these compelling reasons why they want to deny that there could be this hole in the bucket.
Isn't the truth that no front desk staff person, is born knowing the true techniques to reach out and bring these tentative advertising patients across the, you know, the threshold?
I've certainly yet to meet one.
Okay. So you kind of go on that assumption that no one, and we want them to not feel bad that, you know, here they've been in the practice 18 years and they're not doing it right. There's no way they're ever going to figure it out on their own. Somebody has to actually teach this to them.
Well, I think that's a great point, Greg. You know, what I say is the first rule of all this is that it's really not their fault. You know, I don't like excuses, but it's not their fault. You know, when you get a job in a practice and you go to work there, and they hand you the telephone, if they don't train you on what to do, I don't know how you could possibly be held responsible to the kind of that sort of standard without being given that information.
And if they don't know what to do, how are they going to train you?
Well, and that's certainly a big challenge that has to be overcome.
So, Jay, you then set out at our seminar to teach these doctors exactly what should have been done with these audit calls. What I was hoping today is that you would take us through that process.
Be glad to. And this is I'm going to walk through all the components, and so I really want to give everyone listening to this tape specific, tangible action items that they can literally take and go implement within their office.
Okay.
And we'll walk through that process. And I'll tell you what, it starts with breaking down the denial, okay? And so my suggestion to people is this. You know, you may have to figure out a way to know. See, I guess the challenge, Greg, comes many times is I will actually play an audit tape for somebody, and the first thing we have to do is we have to know what is good and what is not good. Okay, so we have to start there, because I literally get clients on a daily basis who will listen to a tape of their staff and they'll think they did a good job. So we have to start with, what does this need to look like? And I'm going to give you just a basic view of if I broke this down to the most elementary level, and then we'll fill in the specifics.
All right.
And it starts with preparation. And so the first thing that has to happen within an office is that the structure of compensation, the structure of focus, you know, here's what you do. You go ask your front desk person tomorrow, what is your number one responsibility? What is the most important thing you do? And I will almost bet you hands down that none of them will say, handle new patient phone calls and schedule new patients.
Yeah, it might end up way down the list.
Absolutely. So start right there, okay? And one of the things that we need to do is we need to, if you have a person who, again, it's the all marketing drives to the phone drives them in the door or across the threshold of the door, onto the table, into the chair, depending on the kind of practice you have. And so what we have to do is the first thing is we have to get the person who answers the phone, that needs to be number one on the list. Okay?
Okay.
And so what that means is that he or she is in a state of readiness all the time. They're eager to pick up the phone. They're excited to pick up the phone, and they are optimistic that it may be a new patient. So that the first place you want to start is there. What are we doing? Is it more important to have an organized front desk or to schedule a new patient, so on and so forth. So let's get that. Let's go back, gauge where it is, and the best way to do it is to ask the question. Then we got to raise it up. And the way that you raise it up, you know, I've heard you say, was it anything that requires confront must also have accountability.
Right.
Right? And so the next thing we want to look at here is that there has to be some accountability for how a person answers the phone. And the method that we use for that, and I would suggest people go ahead and try to implement this method, is this mystery shopper call. It's a blatantly obvious new patient type situation, saying everything short of, please schedule an appointment for me.
Yes.
And then testing what happens. Because the only way that you truly know, in other words, stop assuming, find out actually what's happening, actually what's being said, and that is one of the most revealing things that you can do. because that kind of gives you a little bit of a baseline.
And you're also implying here that that would have to be done from time to time to actually have accountability.
Well, this is what I would say. After you listen to this tape, unfortunately, the responsibility for this will fall squarely upon your shoulders. In other words, it may not even have been the doctor's fault that they didn't fix this, because as you said, maybe they didn't know either. After you listen to this tape, you will possess that responsibility. So every month, every week, every day that you are in practice and you have overhead and you have staff, you are responsible to see that this thing gets done correctly. And it is something that you are never done with.
Yeah, because you're saying that the default of that staff person will be to drift back into the former, you know, I'm in a hurry, I've got other work to do, this isn't my main thing.
I think you said it just perfectly. I love that. The default. That's exactly right. So when the eye moves off of this, you know, it's going to go back to that. And then particularly when you put a new staff person in there,
she's got to go through the training.
Yeah, she wants to be promoted. She's now the office man. You know, we know all those things that happen within an office. But if you're listening to this tape, my hope is that you will, you know, take ownership of this responsibility from today forward, and
right.
Again, realizing you can't ever quit. So even once you get them to the point where you think, hey, you know what, I think they have it, I verified they have it, they sound good, you don't stop.
Okay.
You keep monitoring this.
Can we stop for a second, Jay?
Sure.
And just remind people what's at stake here. Didn't you publish something, I read something that you put out that said that the average practice that makes these changes will see an additional new patients a month, 9 new patients a month immediately, something like that?
Yeah. We sort of research our clients, and what you want to think about, you know, what this is all about, obviously, for most people, they want to have more new patients, they want to, you know, see a bigger volume and whatnot, so it all comes back to that. And what we are trying to figure out here is you're losing something. We just don't know how much. And what I have learned is that the loss tends to be proportional to the amount of business that you have. So as you, Greg, in the number of years that you've been consulting, you have formulas and you're able to determine things based upon experiences. What we've come up with is that if a doctor will tell me what their new patient number is,
yes,
I can almost predict what the loss is. So as an example, if a doctor, Mike Abernathy spoke at your event, and he doing almost 200 new patients a month, right?
Yes.
And he became a client of mine, and I thought, well, this is great. I got a guy who's already doing 200 new patients a month. He went up over 100 new patients a month.
Mike Abernathy called me at home in the evening. He was so excited about your program. He had been to it, and he told me that he jumped from 200 to 350 new patients a month in like 6 weeks or something from the time he got the training in place with his employees. So the reason I interrupted you, Jay, in your presentation is I wanted to remind people this is not just about tuning up the front desk so that people get a little bit better service on the phone. We're talking the equivalent of a marketing breakthrough simply by perfecting this intake process. In other words, there's no advertising program that's ever going to do for them what this will do for them.
Well, and we typically and commonly will say, you know, 3 to 10 new patients a month for most people with literally no additional marketing or advertising. Now, it doesn't mean you need to cut off the marketing or advertising. Just keep it at the current level.
Right. You're saying those patients really are already there. But again, like the Darwinian principle, only the strongest are surviving these people's front desk.
Well, absolutely. You know, I had a teleseminar today with some clients, and all the people on the teleseminar, I asked them the question. I said, okay, they had a couple of questions about something, and we were talking about learning how to critique your audit call. So when you get an audit call, what should that sound like? You know, what's right, what's wrong? And I asked the question casually. I said, hey, tell me where you are new patient-wise for the month. Every single person on that particular call was at their monthly goal today, which I thought was great. In other words, they had set a, you know, we force accountability and goal setting with our clients, and so that your front desk person has a target, they're tracking it, they're monitoring it, and again, they've got a little financial reward if they hit it. And so every one of them was able to share with me today that, hey, you know, our goal was this for the month, we're there today.
All right, Jay, I didn't mean to get you off track. Go back and start telling us all these things that we're going to have to do to get these people in the door.
Well, and it's a great question, and let me just say one last thing before we move on, and that is it will be proportional, so that if a person's seeing 10 new patients a month, maybe they're looking at, they've got two or three there, Greg.
Okay.
Obviously, as a percentage of their business, that's, you know, whereas somebody's got 60, they might look at 10 new patients a month, and so on and so forth.
Just by cleaning this up.
Right, right.
Okay.
And, you know, some people surprise me. You know, I think you said with Mike Abernathy, you were not surprised he went up that much.
Right.
I was.
I say that because I know how much marketing he does. He's an amazing marketer. And even though 200 patients a month sounds impressive, when you see how much marketing he does and promotion, you start to wonder, why isn't that increasing? And now, of course, it is.
Right. Well, see, you knew that. I didn't.
Okay.
Great. All right, so let's dive back into some things. So again, let's go back to this person, and let's realize that, let's find out what the number one responsibility is, and we have got to raise it up, all right?
Okay.
So you're at the desk, hey, this is number one, and so that has to be in their mind, not in your mind. So you might think it is, but they don't. So we got to fix that. Now, number two thing that we do within our program is we create a baseline, very similar to, I know you teach a bonus to people and you,
yes,
baseline it, and then people participate above the baseline, correct?
Right.
And so the beauty of that is that you know, hey, yes, they're making a little more money, but I'm above what I was doing, and you never pay that out until you hit that mark. We do a similar thing. So what you guys might want to do if you listen to this tape is to go back and pull some kind of average of the number of new patients that you're currently doing and lay this benchmark out there, you know. Lay this, so if you see that you're averaging 40 new patients a month, then what we typically do is we plus that by some number. Let's say the doctor's seeing 40. We say, okay, at 45 staff, you're eligible for a bonus. Well, what that then does, and as you know, we keep that within a reasonable number, right? If he says 60, you know, they're just going to go, okay, great, and they're not even going to try.
It's got to be real easily obtainable.
Exactly. But five new patients, we all know, is a significant amount of money multiplied times 12.
Right.
And then with back-end referrals. And so what we want to do is, that's the way that you get, and then on a monthly basis, your staff should be saying, okay, well, 45 is what we call our baseline. That's where we become eligible for this bonus. All right, so we now know in order to get 45, we need to set our goal for 50.
Okay.
Because, you know, sometimes we're off by a few. So you want to have a staff that has a specific target before the month starts, and you want to have some kind of daily accountability for where we are with new patients. Because, Greg, you have a person walk in, she drops the kids off at the nursery, comes into the office, husband calls up, whatever it may be. Is the dominant thought of the day, I want to produce a result of scheduling two new patients today? Or is the dominant thought of the day, I am just going to react to everything that goes on in this chaotic front desk?
Right.
What we want to have is a person who actually has taken and we fought for a little bit of headspace, so to speak, and that they are very conscious and have a lot of intent about this process. So Mary knows, she's looking and she's seeing, we get two today, we're on target.
Okay.
And I want her to have that, he or she, to have that cognition sometime in the morning when they walk in. Because we'll probably get it that day if she does. If it never happens, we're sort of at the mercy. Now, again, raised a level of responsibility, specific targeting for new patients, and again, we're they're having a new patient goal, Greg, even though we're talking about telephone. You with me?
Got it.
It's a powerful new patient tool. Now, let's kind of dive into some of the issues about specifically what they say or do that works or doesn't work and so on and so forth.
I think people listening to this need to realize that when you get into the marketing or the casual yellow page drive-by patient, they really aren't patients. They're leads. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're used to saying, well, you know, we get some people in here. Well, the office you've got can do that. But there's other people on the fringe that we're missing, and that's what you're going to teach us to do right now.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm sure you see patterns of this. When you see a guy and he says, I've got a 100% conversion rate and a 95% collection rate, what?
Well, I know that they must have been sorting people on the phone. They've had a screen so that only the strong survived.
Right, right. Yeah. But there's typically a new patient shortage that goes along with that.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I don't have money, but they're all great, you know. Well, okay. Let me back up just to do one more thing, because I think for everybody listening to this tape, I want to give them hidden opportunities. So we missed one.
Okay.
And the other one, before we even dive into this training, the other thing that I need you to do is I need you to take what we've looked at is there are, it's funny, you use the number 48, I use 47 and a half hours every week that people actually expect that if they call a place of business, someone's going to answer the telephone.
Right.
So we have to address this one too. We actually, how I discovered all this is that in Sparling Clinic we had 6 satellite locations, and we had training days and marketing days, and we had to lunch and all these things. And so I actually looked in those 6 locations, Greg, we did not answer the telephone. We actually had it rolled to a machine over, I think it was like 24 or 25 hours a week, right?
While everybody was training or doing something.
Yeah, yeah. We just left the phone, you know, we let it go to the machine at lunch every day. And so then I took a calculator out and I started adding it up. I said, okay, when do people expect us to answer the phone? I use the times between 8:30 in the morning and 6 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday. Okay?
Okay.
So here's the deal. If someone calls you at 7:30 at night, they don't really expect to get you. Okay?
Right.
So a machine is okay. But when they call you at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they anticipate you're going to answer the telephone.
Right.
And they're ready to transact and typically do something. People don't just call for no reason. So you want to make sure, do a test and figure out how many hours you do not answer the telephone between 8:30 and 6 every day, Monday and Friday. Now, again, that's approximately 48 hours. So if you take those 5 days and you take that span of time, it's about 48 hours. So what I want everyone to do is get a piece of paper out and take a look at Monday. Okay, all right, we're at lunch for 2 hours, so there's 2 hours. Tuesday, we come in at noon, so you've got, you know, 4 hours in the morning. Calculate how many hours you don't answer the phone. And what's amazing, this is the first thing that you want to correct in a practice, is that it's not uncommon, Greg, that we can get a 25 or a 30% bump just by answering the telephone.
You quote a statistic that those marginals, those not hardcore super referred patients, isn't it 80% won't call back if they don't get
somebody? Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's a fallacy. It's probably one of the biggest fallacies ever to have enough audacity to think that people that you have no relationship with who are wanting to get something done are actually going to call you back.
Right, exactly.
And the other thing is answering services, quite frankly, are extremely ineffective because they do not have the ability to schedule an appointment.
Right.
And that's ultimately what we want to get done, is get it on the books. So there are a couple of methods. There's one caveat to this 8:30 to 6. If you are running radio, television, whatever it may be, and that is hitting in the evening hours, okay, you need to answer the telephone.
Even in the evening?
Absolutely. It is. I am of the opinion that it is insanity to, you know, and here's what people do. They buy cheap time, right?
Right.
But then they don't answer the phone.
Jay, I have people that will forward their telephone to the cell phone of one or two employees, and they answer the phone 24 hours a day.
Well, that's what we want them to do. That's absolutely right. So we typically do either staggered time, you know, maybe people don't go to lunch together anymore, maybe you bring in new people, or use that call forwarding, that cell phone system. And I certainly think, you know, it's worthwhile for the doctor to reward the staff handsomely for taking care of that.
You bet.
For you. So I just want to make sure before we talk about the... So a lot of times
before
even...
Before we talk about technique,
yeah,
stay with the basics.
Exactly. So make sure, do an analysis, and again, take it... Let's say, for instance, you've got 15 hours that you don't answer the phone. What you want to look at is you want to look at, Greg, that 15 hours... as a percentage of that 48 hours. So, for instance, you know, you might potentially be missing 20% of your calls.
Right, and 80% of those will not call back.
Oh, absolutely not. Years ago, you know, when I first started this, what I did is I had a simple system in those six offices. We got call forwarding on all the phones in the offices. I had a secretary at the time, and in the office, and I was trying to justify having her, so I thought this will justify having her. So we forwarded all those six phone lines to her. At lunch, they'd call forward. On the days we were closed, whatever, it was this 20-some-odd hours. I'm going to tell you, Greg, there, from month number one, for 3.5 years, she never booked less than 50 new patients a month.
And that was during times no one was answering the phone, normally.
That was just like discovered new patients. Now, again, I think about 80% of those we would have never got.
Right.
Maybe there was 20 that maybe they would have called back, but I don't know about you, but that's just not a chance you take.
It's also a capacity issue. Those people are not jamming up the phones during the other times.
Yeah.
So we can get other calls in.
Absolutely. So do it. You know, I really encourage people to take that component extremely serious and...
Okay.
Implement a fix as soon as you possibly can.
Got it.
And again, reward the staff appropriately for doing that.